Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits. Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom podcast. This is episode number 252. My name is Carlos Alvarez, and I'll be your host for the show. On today's episode, I have returning guest, Kyle LaFon. Oh my God, I hope I got that right. Kyle LaFon.
Of course.
A farmer and science teacher who founded the successful brand American Providence, which makes safe and effective personal care products by hand using better-for-you ingredients. Welcome back to the show, Kyle.
Hey, Carlos. Great to be here. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
I feel like I got super lucky getting you back on the show. I really enjoyed our last episode. Anybody who has not heard that previous episode, it's episode number 248. It aired on November 28th. I highly recommend anyone give it a listen, and hopefully, if you have time, a review, even though I know the podcast places don't make that easy. But we dove deep into you, Kyle, the American Providence brand, the origin story, and how you got into retail stores, how you go about new products. We covered a lot. Shopify, Amazon, you weren't in this like one camp and not the other. You were very like entrepreneur, e-com seller. I want to be wherever is helping my business. In today's episode, we're going to talk about another part of your business that I discovered moments before recording last time. And I was almost like, which one do we do first? Oh my God, if I only have one, what do I choose? But it's contract manufacturing, specifically your business and the site by the same name called naturalcontractmanufacturing.com. I initially found it in the footer of the American Providence site.
Yep.
I think it says like contract manufacturing. I don't think it says the full natural contract manufacturing, but it takes you to a beautiful site that really breaks stuff down. So naturalcontractmanufacturing.com. To properly frame what we're going to talk about for listeners, and by listeners, me too. A little bit here.
Sure.
We're going to talk about how listeners can leverage your expertise, manufacturing knowledge to get their own PL brought to life. And you're based in the United States and have, if I hope I get this right, low MOQs.
That's correct.
Okay. So this is like, we're talking about the Holy Grail. This episode is going to be like a whole bunch of things that you normally don't hear in one sentence as an e-com seller trying to work with someone. I've already given you the hug of death warning. That at the end of this, you're going to have contact information shared out and that a lot of people are going to be reaching out to you. So let's start this within your own words. What is contract manufacturing? And When did this become part of the, I guess, the American Providence journey? So I'm assuming one had something to do with the other.
Yes, exactly. American Providence kind of bled into natural contract manufacturing. And it's actually a pretty unique and actually wonderful backstory. With natural contract manufacturing and our contract manufacturing practice in general, it's not something that I can take credit for. It's not something that I thought of. What happened about a year ago, during the fall of 2021, we had some folks reach out to us, folks that I had met at trade shows or conventions or sales events, you name it, who knew that we did our own in-house manufacturing. And at this point, you know, this is when all the supply chain stuff was still a huge issue. And so I had a bunch of these other brand founders come up and say, hey, here's the deal. My current contract manufacturer, they've upped their minimum order quantities, their MOQs, from what was reasonable before, maybe 2,000 pieces, up to 5, 10, 15, maybe even 20,000 pieces per SKU. For a small business, making that kind of commitment to say 15 to 20,000 pieces per SKU, that's unrealistic. You just can't do it. A lot of startups don't have that kind of funding. So the other thing that happened was some of these folks came up and said, hey, my current contract manufacturer, this larger operation, they can't give me any kind of timeline. They can't tell me when they're actually going to make our products. So I may be sitting, you know, out of stock for 3, 4, 6 months because I'm a small company. I'm low priority to them. I need some help. I need someone who's going to focus on this small scale contract side of things. So we stumbled into it and started off just doing a handful of runs for these other companies. Those went really, really well. And we had some repeat orders right away. And then seeing how there was such demand out there for folks who were looking to launch brands, do small batches, we thought this might be a really great niche for us to occupy. If we can be the company that everyone turns to when they're looking to launch a brand at low cost, quick turnaround. That's a sweet spot that no one else is occupying right now. For me and my background, understanding how tough it was to launch American Provenance, if I can share information, the things that we've gone through to help folks avoid the same mistakes and pitfalls that I ran into, hey, I think that's a great advantage to offer to anyone that's willing to work with us. So back in July, I actually did an interview with a group called Beauty Independent. It's a trade publication. And basically that interview, I talked all about natural contract manufacturing and what we're looking to do with our low MOQs, quick turnaround times, reasonable prices. And that article ran in Beauty Independent, I want to say late July. The following week, we had close to 200 inbounds, which was just insane. So that again told me that, hey, there's huge demand here. So we got serious about natural contract manufacturing only back in July and August of this year. So realistically, it's only been 4 or 5 months that we've been making products for other brands. And in that time, we've already picked up about 30 clients. We've got a pipeline of about 50 more, and always looking to screen and talk to folks and see if we're going to be the right fit for them. So our sweet spot compared to those huge MOQs, we can go down as low as 500, in some special instances, even 250 units per SKU. So for a lot of small brands, that makes sense. A lot of small brands, you know, you can turn around on your own website or with local retailers, you can sell 250 to 500 pieces, no problem. So for us, it's a really great launch pad to basically make high quality products that folks can then sell on their own means. I think that natural contract manufacturing, I don't think we could have launched this, you know, 8 years ago when we launched American Provenance. I think we needed American Provenance to prove out our success and to prove out our quality and our consistency with our products. So I think having kind of that backstory of having our own brand, launching our own brand, really helps out to legitimize natural contract manufacturing. And I see natural contract manufacturing being a bigger and bigger part of our business all the time, because again, just the demand is so huge right now.
That's wild. Just like when you were on last time, I asked one I felt like was my simple question, and it gave birth to like eight other questions. I'm like listening and like furiously writing notes over here, asking questions there. You know, if somebody told me, hey, there's a manufacturer in the US, an experienced one, that has a 250 to 300 piece MOQ, you know, I probably wouldn't reach out, because I'd be like, yeah, this is a serious bait and switch going on right here. Like I'm not going for this dry land in the Everglades thing. Like, it seems almost too good to be true. So that's amazing. And I love how, the stories combine there. A question though, you've been doing this for under a year, under 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been doing this for under 6 months. The factories that these other people were working at, you know, and they were getting, they weren't being prioritized, you know, long lead times, and their MOQs just jacked up, you know, prohibitively. Yep. By these factories. I'm assuming these factories have been in business for a long time. This is the only thing they focus on. How is it that, and I'm assuming they don't just get an order, right? Even though it feels like this is a brand owner, sometimes they don't get an order and be like, ha ha ha, let's just push this guy out 90 days. Right. But like, I'm assuming that they try to get this done as fast as they are able to. Mm-hmm. How were you able to solve and turn around quick lead times and do low MOQs when these big players in the game, not that you're not big, you get what I'm saying, but these established veteran factories in the game are unable to do so still?
Yep. Yeah, it's just economies of scale. For those folks to set up their equipment and run it, for them to be efficient and to make their margins or their markups, you know, they have to run 5, 10, 15,000 pieces. For us, we don't have that kind of overhead. And so when I'm thinking about it, a lot of these more established companies, what they're doing is they're going after the bigger fish, right? If you have the bigger fish, that's more dollars, more consistency. Now you're talking about orders every week, maybe every other week. Where for us, we know that we want to deal with these small manufacturers, these small brands, and it's not going to be kind of the same velocity. You know, some of these larger contract manufacturers, they may only have 20 to 30 clients, right? Those are huge clients though, where for us, we're going to have, you know, 150 to 250 clients. They're doing smaller batches, not quite as consistent, maybe ordering every month, every other month, every quarter, every 6 months. So for us, finding that sweet spot and allowing folks to grow, because a lot of times these large contract manufacturers, they're not even going to return a phone call from a small brand. Whereas we're at least going to have that conversation. I've had people that have called me, you know, virtually on the verge of tears because, oh my gosh, a contract manufacturer actually called me back. They responded to an email. They want to have this conversation. That's happened more than once. So for us, we're going to talk with everybody and see who's going to be the best fit for us. Another reason why we don't go after that is with our facility, we've only got about 7,000 square feet here. So we actually top out at about 5,000 units per SKU. When we go above that, that's when things get a little dicey here. So that small range with the equipment and the space and capacity and staff we have going from 250 to 5,000 units, that's where we operate. That's where we love to operate. And doing the bigger orders, we don't have the complexity or the capacity or the huge machines that some of these larger contract manufacturers utilize. Some of our equipment is actually secondhand manufacturing equipment that we've purchased from these larger contract manufacturers. You know, as they've gotten bigger and better and more efficient, we'll buy their old stuff. So we're operating in this space where our capacity is really limited. And then when one of our clients gets to a point where, say, hey, they're pushing out 5,000 units of a SKU, we know the partner that we want to push them to, a larger contract manufacturer. We've got some relationships. We've had some larger contract manufacturers actually hand us clients already, saying, hey, we've been working with this group for the past 5, 10, 15 years. We're at a point where our business has grown, and for one reason or another, theirs has not kept pace with what our capacity is. So we've got this smaller client that we'd like to offload, but we'd like to find a home for them. So, you know, we don't have egg on our face exiting this relationship. We want to make sure they're going somewhere that with someone we trust. And so we've actually gotten a fair amount of business from larger contract manufacturers pushing us some smaller brands. So yeah, that 250 to 5,000, that's our sweet spot. That's where we want to be. I think, you know, when you consider the American dream, right? The American dream is not an overnight success. The American dream requires all kinds of time and effort and resources, right? And I want to be the guy, I want to have the company that helps people realize their American dream over time. We're looking for partnerships. We sit down with all of our clients and we go over forecasts and projections. So we know exactly what they're looking to do in the coming year. So we can be very upfront honest with them, say, hey, your priority, this is our capacity. You've been working with us for, let's say, the past 2, 3, 4 months. You've already placed 3 or 4 repeat orders. We want to make sure that we're able to be your relied on partner moving forward. So, you know, rather than just getting an order and making stuff or getting an order and putting on basically a production list, you know, we talk with folks about the entire process and make sure we're in constant communication. So we're a little bit more hands-on than some of the larger groups, and we really want to make sure that we're doing the right thing for our partners.
Do you see yourself staying, focusing on, let's just call it those newer businesses, you know, chasing the American dream? Or is it like, you know, after this podcast, and it seems like a few other interviews that you might do, you're now sitting at 1,000 and you're like, well, I gotta prioritize what's best for the business. And you find yourself going over to the dark side, which would be just these like massive brands, which then in turn might make you get bigger machines. And then you're dealing with higher MOQs. Like, do you see yourself going that way? Or is there an intention to stay where you're at?
You know, I can't crystal ball right now, but my personal preference is to stay where we're at. I've got a soft spot in my heart for true founders, first generation founders. I think there are a lot of companies out there that just swing for the fences and try to make as much money as possible, where I realize, you know, over the course of the past 7 years, I know how hard it's been to build a business and to make ends meet. One of my favorite quotes out there is from Davis Smith. He's the founder of Cotopaxi, you know, a very popular outdoor brand. One of his quotes was, he's been in business for 20 years, and for 19 and a half of those, he's had a lump in his throat and a pit in his stomach, because every day you're dealing with the stress of trying to make ends meet. So being in that spot for the past 7, 8 years, understanding what that takes and the toll that it takes on somebody, I really want to help folks out. And that sounds like counterintuitive and it sounds like bleeding heart, but that's just who I am. I mean, up here in Wisconsin, we're Midwest Nice. We're trying to help everybody we can. And again, going through what I've been through the past 7 years and realizing how difficult it is as a white middle-aged guy from the suburbs, I can't imagine how difficult and challenging it must be for other folks. So I want to make that path as accessible as I can for everybody.
We just found our clip right there as far as like what I'm going to put out there to market the show. That was amazing. Yeah, I felt that in my heart. I'm like, where do I donate? I want to just send money in support of this cause. You know, I love that. I really do. What What's included? Manufacturing is nice, but manufacturing is one piece of what can be a very complicated journey. So, which is huge, by the way, it's manufacturing in the US with low MOQs, like nothing else needs to be added to this to be the Holy Grail. But somebody reaches out to you, they have some ideas, you know what they don't know. You know the questions that they don't even know to ask.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. What's included? Manufacturing, formalization, marketing, packaging, other guidance. Like, can you walk me through that? Somebody listening to this reaches out to you. What can they expect?
Yes, we've got a whole bunch of stuff. So if folks reach out to us, one of the things that I realized very early on when I started this brand, American Provenance, was that branding and marketing was central. It was key. So one of the first hires I made was for our creative director. Our creative director has been on staff here ever since day one. So we do offer services if a company or a brand has not yet developed any type of marketing ideas or label ideas. We've been there. We've done that. So we can help guide you through the process. We have preferred vendors that we use for packaging and labeling. So we can really be, you know, A to Z. If somebody wants to basically have us make a product for them, utilize our stock packages, utilize our stock label sizes with their design on it, we can do all of that. We basically can source all ingredients. If someone comes to us and they are very particular about an ingredient they want to utilize in their formulation for their product, oftentimes we make them go out and find it or source it because for us, it's very difficult to go out and try and find a difficult to locate ingredient if it's not commonplace. So what we do is we've got a list of stock products that are available. So we can make those for anybody, no problem. Those are all formulations. We also do custom formulation. So if someone comes to us with an idea or a product they want to develop, we'll develop that custom formulation and we only charge $1,500. Which is insane for a custom formulation. There are groups out there that are charging $250,000 for a custom formulation, which I think is just absolutely insane. So we'll take your ideas. And what we do is we do three iterations. And so if someone comes to us with a product idea, we'll make three iterations for them right off the bat. So we'll go through this process where we'll make our first sample, send it out. You try it, test it, tweak it, say what you want about its quality or consistency. Come back a second time, we'll make some changes, send out a second sample, review that again, make any changes we need to. Third time we send out a sample, we intend for that third sample to be our final sample. If we need to go more than three iterations, we're just not going to be a very good partner for someone. So a lot of larger contract manufacturers out there, they only have stock products, or when they do a custom formulation, what you get is what you get. We really want to work with our partners and make sure that we're providing the best products possible. Reason for that three, there are some folks out there, and this isn't to be negative at all. There are some folks out there that are very particular. You have to realize that most often you're not going to launch with a perfect product. Even our products at American Provenance, we've tweaked those over the years. And so you realize over time with customer feedback that certain things need to change. So if we do a custom formulation for someone, that's only a one-time charge. We're not going to come back and charge you again if you want to tweak it down the road and just to make it a little bit different. The other things that we offer, I already mentioned that we offer stock packaging. Packaging, branding, and marketing is what really sets a particular company apart. So we try to help as much as we can, but we're not ultimately going to be responsible for okaying everything. That has to come from the brand owner. The brand owner has to have final say over everything. We're not going to move forward with anything unless we have 100% complete buy-in from the folks that we're working with. So it's not like us that we're making products and shortchanging folks or trying to cut corners. I always love that story about Wendy's and Dave Thomas. You ever hear that about why their burgers are square? Their burgers are square because, their burgers are square because Dave's old line was, we never cut corners. So he thought that by rounding a patty, of course, that was signified cutting corners. So that's why Wendy's patties are square. So I really like that. I like the fact that we try to be as complete and thorough as possible when we're onboarding and when we're formulating new products for our partners.
That is amazing. And $1,500 for formulations, that's heck, half the time you can't get past the initial onboarding call if you can get a hold of them. It might cost $1,500 for the consult to possibly work with the person. So that is amazing. Talk about customer service for a second. Like you got in a whole bunch of people at once. You mentioned earlier that the person was nearly in tears because, you know, a contract manufacturer reached out to them. That's a very real thing. Like there's actually an episode on the show, and I don't want to drag the person through the mud, but we visited this factory in Boston. I did an episode on it. Like, and I was just so impressed. It was a bottling manufacturer, anything liquid in a bottle. That was the thing. And since a lot of people in my community are product agnostic, it was just like, oh my God, we know how to do the back end keyword research and test to see if there's a product that we could make fit. And it was exciting. It was a manufacturer in the US. Won't return any messages. Not, some of them are, I trust you from the show. Where can I send money so you will respond to me? Still nothing. So how do you handle that?
Wow. First off, that's an insane story. I don't know, going back to to Midwest Nights, we talk to everybody. I'm a very talkative, very social guy. My team is very talkative and social. So anyone that basically sends us a request or an inbound, we get back to within 48 hours. That's kind of our MO. We want to make sure that we're not leaving somebody on the lurch. So there are different ways to get a hold of us. Probably the easiest, we all check the same general inbound mailbox, and that's just info, I-N-F-O, at naturalcontractmanufacturing.com. That gets checked at least half a dozen times every single day. And one of us will take ownership and reply to whoever it is that reaches out at that. Otherwise, of course, we have our own individual emails as well. And I can get those at the end of the presentation here. But yeah, that info at naturalcontractmanufacturing.com is the easiest way to get a hold of us. And again, we'll get back to you within 48 hours. And we've got all kinds of clients that can attest to that. Most of our clients so far have said that they've communicated more with us in just the short time they've been with us than they have with their older partners over the course of years that they've been working together, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. If you've got a long-term partner that you really don't talk to maybe once or twice a year, to me, that's kind of insane. We want to get to know our partners. We want to help them out. We want to share information and resources. If somebody's looking for help with, again, marketing, branding, packaging, digital marketing, you name it. We've got folks that we've worked with that we can recommend. And unfortunately, we've got some folks that we can steer people away from. You know, you're going to have those good, bad, ugly experiences. So if somebody comes to us and says, hey, I'm thinking about working with so-and-so, I can be very transparent and open and honest with them and say, hey, that might not be in your best interest. We worked with that group in the past and things didn't turn out so well. And so again, for us being a brand and now transitioning into more contract manufacturing, it's a value add. We can hopefully help folks avoid some of the mistakes that we made early on.
That made me remember something you were saying earlier about the packaging and all that. And you said that, you know, you've worked with people forever that have done this, you know, I'm going to just call them approved vendors or freelancers or anything that you've worked with. I still have to follow up with you to get some of those freelancers.
That's right.
But is that what we're talking about? These are freelancers. These are like your go-to people for some of this stuff.
Yes. We got a bunch of freelancers that we've worked with in the past and continue to work with. The biggest ones I can think of are for product photography. You've got digital design and marketing studios out there that are going to charge you $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for a product shoot. That makes no sense. There are some very, very talented, even more talented agencies, freelancers out there. They'll do it for a fraction of the cost.
Same name drop anybody?
If people reach out, I'm more than happy to name drop.
All right, that's fair.
It's one of those things where we try to get the best bang for the buck. And we've realized over the course of the past 7-8 years that unfortunately, sometimes agencies aren't the best way to go. They've got a lot of overhead. They got to keep the lights on. And if you're a small brand, what these agencies do is oftentimes they'll pick a junior staff member, assign them to your account. That's your person. They really don't know what they're doing. They're just collecting your money to keep the lights on and run their other programs. So I really like working with freelancers, people who are hungry, people who are out there, people that are really invested in the success of our business. What I find, and again, I don't mean to badmouth any agencies or larger groups, but I think dealing with individuals or teams of two or three, those folks are invested in us because we're one of the handful of clients they have rather than this huge book of business that they've had for years. So yeah, I always tend to shy away from agencies and go try to find some freelancers or just a couple of guys or gals that are working together and trying to do something fun and unique and novel.
I love it. I'm going to be pestering you for the list of freelancers.
I will give those up. Yes, I will give those up.
Stock products and products that you you said you could make almost like right out the box. Like we have these, we're ready to make them, ready to go. What sort of products can somebody think of as good to start working with you on that you can manufacture?
Yeah, so right away we focus on melt and pour products. So what we do is we take our fats, oils, waxes, melt those down to liquid consistency, add our dry ingredients, drop the temperature again, and then add whatever we're using to scent that product. So anything that's a melt and pour, so I'm thinking about like deodorant, something about beard balms, I'm thinking about hair pomades, liquids and serums, we do those as well. Here in Q1 and Q2, we're buying some more equipment so we can do lotions and creams at scale, which is great. Right now we can do lotions and creams, but it's just at such a small scale that it doesn't make sense until we get this new equipment in. And then exciting for us, we've actually invested quite a bit of money into bar soaps. So we can do large scale bar soaps, which is great. So that again is going to be mid to late Q1. But yeah, for now, melt and pour, liquid serums, any type of men's grooming product you could think of, we've made here and we'll continue to make. We do stuff from a contract perspective, just kind of give you some background. We have some clients who make products for the elder care community. So we make a bunch of salves and balms for folks who are in nursing homes or otherwise limited by with their mobility. We've got some men's grooming clients. We've got some women's grooming clients. We have some pet care clients as well. So we've now branched into making stuff like a paw protector or a paw salve, all kinds of crazy stuff. So we're open to just about anything that's a melt and pour or liquid at this point. And again, we're the type of manufacturer, we don't use all these kind of crazy chemicals. You know, we don't use any preservatives. We don't use anything that you really can't pronounce. If there's a client out there that wants us to widen that a little bit, we can have that conversation. But natural products, that's our sweet spot. And doing it in all these different market segments is something that I'm really proud of. And if you've got a crazy idea, don't think it's crazy. You can come talk to me about it. We can work it out and see if we can be a partner.
My co-host, Noemi Bolojan, she focuses on the cat space. So
yeah,
I don't know if there's like a cat paw or the cat's meow or something. I don't know. Like she might be reaching out to you. I don't know. But if you see Noemi Bolojan, prioritize it in the inbox.
Definitely.
But what's your ideal customer look like? Cause I have a tendency, and I know a lot of other listeners listening to this, they're hearing this. It's amazing. I think you've explained it perfectly. But I have the tendency to think, I'm not ready. You know, like the person might think, well, he's only dealing with people that are bigger than me, even if they are ordering lower MOQs. So like, what's your ideal customer look like?
Sure. We love new and emerging companies. And we also love companies that are looking to expand their brand portfolios. We do have some folks we're working with right now that they've had well-established brands for years, but they've never made any type of personal care product. So for them, this is kind of a new venture, a new foray. We take those folks on as well. But new and emerging brands is really our specialty, again, because we've walked that path ourselves the past 7 years. I feel like we can guide folks through what's normally a very arduous journey and make it as simple and pain-free as possible. So if you're looking to launch a brand, and let's say you've only got, with our services and what we offer, you could probably launch a brand with a half a dozen products for probably less than 10 grand. So if folks out there listening and thinking, hey, I don't have the money to make this happen, I'll tell you what, we're your place to go. We're not going to charge you these outrageous fees. We're going to work with you hand in hand and make sure that we're delivering the products that you want, that you're confident you can sell to your community. Those small, new and emerging brands, that's really our sweet spot.
I might have to clip that out and just keep that for me, that little knowledge there under 10 grand. Just that'll be my secret weapon.
There you go.
What groundwork or research should somebody do before they have that onboarding call with you and your teams to maximize it and maybe have the best chances of going past onboarding to doing business?
Yeah. So the big thing is looking at projections and modeling out where you're going to sell your products and what you think your velocities are going to be. So if you're going to sell at brick and mortar, you should have a good idea. You should already know your brick and mortar buyers. So you can come to us and say, hey, I've got a relationship established with this account or with this retailer. They want products from me. We've got a couple of clients right now we're working with that already have established relationships with groups like Target. So it doesn't have to be that big, of course. If you've got a handful, especially retailers, I've got another client that they sell stuff in barbershops. Awesome. We'll make hair pomade for you. You can sell to your clients in barbershops. So I have an idea of where you're going to sell your products at, if it's going to be a brick and mortar or if it's going to be online. I love dealing with folks who have an Amazon background or have a Shopify or a D2C background because they know what products they can sell. So they'll come to me with an idea and say, hey, this is a category I'd like to explore. I think there's some growth opportunities here. Can we develop a product to meet the need? Yeah, of course we'll do that. So I think the biggest thing is understanding what your market is, where you're going to sell your products. If you have a firm understanding of that and think about what the possible projections could be, both as like a baseline and a stretch goal, that'd be great. So if you come in and we have the conversation and say, I think I can sell, you know, and maybe 2,500 units this year to this client. If things go really well, I pick up another client, maybe I can sell them 10,000 units. So have that baseline information, that baseline idea of where you think you're going to start, and then have that stretch goal as well. In terms of something goes really well or you hit a home run, you want to make sure that we're going to be able to support you and make the products that you need.
Well said. Oh my God, I have so many different questions I want to ask off that. So by Shopify and Amazon seller, you mean somebody that understands keywords, understands how to convert on a search, even though they don't already have a brand or have sold the product, but maybe they're building a successful email list or a social media and they just know what they're going to be able to sell to, or they understand keywords and conversions on Amazon. Speaking of Amazon, since low MOQs are on the table, it's not unheard of. You could send 250, 500, even 1,000 units straight into FBA.
Yep.
Is that something that you're set up for and that you'd be open to doing for somebody?
Yep. We've got clients that we already do that for. We've got folks that will never touch a product. So we do all of the manufacturing, we do all the packaging, because sometimes with liquids, those need to be polybagged for sale on Amazon. So we'll do all the polybagging here at our facility. Of course, there's a small fee for that. I think we charge between 5 and 7 cents per bag just to polybag them. Anyways, it's nominal. So we ship stuff to FBA all the time for some of our clients. As long as we're talking about the folks and where they're going to sell stuff, we have a couple of fascinating clients right now that I'm really into who are basically Instagram influencers and personalities. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to monetize basically their, that's for lack of a better term, name, image, and likeness, right? So they've come to us and said, hey, I've got a following of 5 million people on Instagram, or, you know, 6 million people on TikTok. I'm old. I don't know these things. millions of followers on TikTok. I want to monetize this. I want to have a product that's got either my name or my own brand on it. Can you help me out? So we do that as well. So if there are folks out there listening that have their own audiences that are looking to expand and basically monetize, we can help.
I love that. So I think this is an obvious one, but the listeners will crucify me if I don't ask this. So when you mentioned prepping, yeah, the fee is extremely nominal, but you do understand things like choke hazard labels, because you're a seller. You understand what needs to go on there. You understand the transparency program. So if somebody's in that and they want to get their QR code put onto their packaging, like you already know how to be compliant with that. That is amazing.
Yep. We've got all that. We've been there before and done it ourselves.
Yeah, it's definitely an advantage to doing that. Speaking of advantages of being a seller of a successful brand and manufacturing, you know, and contract manufacturing, what would you recommend somebody do that? Like if they were, is there like very real advantages to, you have a brand, let's say unrelated, you know, not a competitor of yours, and this is an option. They can manufacture this and they decide to go that route. Should somebody look at this when they're pricing this out and say, well, you know what? Once I get this set up and once this is going good, another path for revenues can be contract manufacturing.
Oh, absolutely. We've got clients that are already exploring other opportunities with us, other market segments. Folks have asked us, you know, do you do candles or you do something else? Yeah, we can do those. We don't do them currently, but we will. So if someone comes to us with an idea that's not in our wheelhouse right now, we're more than happy to work with them to figure out if we do have the capability and capacity to make it here. So we're wide open to just about anything at this point.
What questions do you feel like I should have asked and I've not asked regarding this process of contract manufacturing and how easy it is for somebody to work with you?
Yeah, the biggest thing, people ask me all the time, I've been looking for a contract manufacturer forever. I just can't find them. So the biggest thing is our information. You know, again, the email is info@naturalcontractmanufacturing.com. The website is just naturalcontractmanufacturing.com. there's not a lot of SEO that's been put into contract manufacturing. We need to change that. We need to be more aggressive in terms of marketing ourselves. The funny thing that I'm going to love to share here with you is the fact that since we launched this thing, we have not spent a single cent on marketing or advertising natural contract manufacturing. All of our business has come to us through interviews, podcasts like this, referrals from either other brands or larger contract manufacturers. So I think for us, if we were actually be a little bit more aggressive and start marketing this, wow, sky's the limit. And so the biggest thing is just finding us. And yeah, if you do a Google search for national contract manufacturing, we should pop right up. So that's kind of the big take home.
And a hint for anybody listening to this, in the last episode, you actually dropped your phone number.
Yes, so exactly.
Wait for me to pump up listens on that other episode. Somewhere in the show, I won't say where.
Well, I can give it to you again. I mean, I love talking to folks. I take calls all the time. So my phone number, yeah, it's just 608-338-5953. And I'm willing to talk to anybody. The folks who are local here in Wisconsin, you know, they talk all the time about how I take folks out for breakfast or for coffee and we talk business and I see if I can help them out. You know, being an entrepreneur myself, giving back, I think, is a big part of it. And I'm always kind of shocked and dismayed at folks that kind of forget about where they came from. For me, again, knowing that the struggles that we've had to endure the past 7-8 years to get here, like, I want to help folks out. I want to help people be successful. You know, here in Wisconsin, I'm the guy that's kind of banging the drum for manufacturing. If we're going to have a strong and diverse economy here in the United States, it can't just be based on healthcare or tech or IT or insurance or banking. We need to make stuff here. We need manufacturing. And I feel like it's coming back. You know, it's been a long road, but I think we're on the precipice of something really special in terms of true American manufacturing having a renaissance. So yeah, I want to be part of that. And I want to help folks grow their own brands by doing it.
You're amazing, Kyle. Thank you so much for your time on this. Normally I would ask, what is your favorite book and why? Last time you shared one that I, as I mentioned, I immediately grabbed. I grabbed an audiobook because I was on my way to PLMA called Rocket Fuel. Always forget the name of the author, but it's the same author, Gino Wickman. That was a Gino Wickman. Yep. And there was somebody, I think he co-authored this one with somebody, but book is amazing. I highly recommend anybody who hasn't listened to it to, you know, definitely listen to it or read it. I actually had read it and it was in a different, like in a different time. And this hit me totally differently. I actually also recommended it to a friend of mine recently who it hit really close to home for him. If there was such a thing as a high functioning visionary, it would be my friend Tom. Yep. And it was a real eye opener for him. So I really appreciate the recommendation. I recommend anyone that wants to learn more about a like VI relationship and.
Yeah. You know, what was your
executor?
What was your big takeaway from that?
Well, first that I maxed out every single point imaginable in the test as far as being a visionary.
All right.
And it made me look at a few of my other businesses that are not going in the way that I wanted them to go, frustratingly so. And I realized how much further they could have went if I had an integrator there. It's also, I think, going to change the way I look at new businesses that I start or that I'm willing to put time into. And it's like, look, if we can't make this part happen, because I'm not going to be the one doing that stuff. It drives me mad. The awareness of that was massive for me.
Yep.
How about you? What was your biggest takeaway from the book?
Biggest takeaway was how I relate with my team, and understanding roles and responsibilities, and having those clearly defined, because every now and again, you know, I'm the visionary for our brand. Every now and again, I step into the integrator path and that's when things kind of get sideways. And same thing, my two integrators here on staff, sometimes they come into the visionary role and that's where we tend to butt heads. And so reading the book and rereading the book has actually helped us with our own internal communications more than pretty much anything else, because now we understand roles, we understand responsibilities and who's ultimately responsible for growing this business. You know, again, I'm the guy that's out there projecting, having this vision of where we can take this thing. And then my integrators on staff here, they're the ones that are responsible for executing it, or telling me, hey, Kyle, no, that's just not going to happen. That's not realistic. We can't do that at this point. So I used to get frustrated before we read the book. I used to get frustrated with not seeing eye to eye with my team. But after reading that book, now I understand their perspective, where they're coming from. And I think they understand me a little bit better as well. So, and just in terms of how our team relates, I think that was a real game changer for us.
And you said integrators, plural, on your team. Yep. So you can have more than one?
You can. You can. I've stretched that a little bit. We started off with just one primary integrator, and we actually called my general manager. We called him my no man for a while. Because, you know, I hate companies that have a yes man and just go along. So, exactly. So my integrator here for a long time, he was known as the no man. Then as we've expanded, he's kept his primary integrator role, with American Providence. And as we've grown natural contract manufacturing, there's now a second integrator that kind of runs that. So, I've got dual integrators for both aspects of the business here.
Also, they are in separate businesses, though, kind of owned by the same.
Yeah, okay. That's correct.
All right. Yeah, I was imagining like a cage fight happening with like.
All right. No, it's one of those things where they keep me on track. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think all businesses would benefit from a no man. That's worthy of like its own episode. But Kyle, huge! I cannot thank you enough. I'm looking for ways to stay in touch, and to hopefully collaborate on stuff. Thank you so much for your time and have an amazing day.
Of course, you too, Carlos. I appreciate it.